Welcome to the Trader's Handbook, a limited podcast series brought to you by IG in partnership with your host, The Finance Ghost. Over the course of our upcoming episodes, we are delving deep into the world of trading, helping both novice and seasoned traders alike navigate this exciting field. Join us as we unravel the intricate strategies and insights that define this dynamic landscape and the beautiful puzzle that is the markets. IG Markets South Africa is an authorized financial services and over-the-counter derivatives product provider. CFD losses can exceed your deposits. Welcome to episode 3 of the Trader's Handbook. I must say I am really, really enjoying these podcasts with the team from IG Markets South Africa and Sean Murison, as always, my guest on this podcast. And, you know, we really hope that you've enjoyed these first two episodes that we've put together. This is now episode 3, as mentioned. And hopefully you started to learn about the differences between trading and investing. And if you have joined us from the start in these podcasts, you should certainly have your demo account open by now. If you haven't done that yet, go off and do it. Get that demo open. There really is no replacement for having an on-screen view of the IG platform and how it all works. And I must say, I've been having quite a lot of fun with mine, particularly trading those Mr. Price attempts to break above a resistance level. But we'll, maybe talk about that during the show. But Sean, thanks as always for making time for this podcast and sharing your knowledge with the listeners. Lots of fun stuff for us to talk about today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So I'm keen to start with this Mr. Price trade, actually. And again, you know, the idea is that this podcast is evergreen. So if you're listening to this long after we've recorded it, you know, going and looking at a Mr. Price chart probably won't make a whole lot of sense to you. But the point is to also bring real world examples to the podcast, because the idea, as I mentioned, is to open up a demo account, to actually be out there trading. Yes, it's monopoly money, but treat it as real money and learn from it. So what I've done with that Mr. Price trade, it's something we mentioned on the last podcast as well, is I've used the strategy now of taking smaller positions on the short. And when that share price does bounce a bit, just adding to the short, I think I closed one leg of it as well that was solidly in the green. So I guess what I've learned from this is that throwing everything at a single price point is maybe not the best way to go. I'm keen to get your views on that. I've sort of taken smaller positions and tried to just not be a hero on that chart and try and pick exactly the right place. So it seems so far so good. But what is quite interesting is if I look at a chart of Mr. Price, on the platform, it's been trading between roughly $200 and 210 Rand a share. Now, if I had timed my short perfectly at 210 Rand and closed it at 200 Rand, if you work it out, that's a return of about 4.8%. Now, that might not sound spectacular, you know, that's money market stuff, but here are two things to remember. The first is that that is money market stuff in 12 months, not money market stuff in the space of a week or a few days. And that's one of the key differences with trading, right, is you lock in these returns over a short time period. And of course, the second point is leverage, something we spoke about in episode 2. So go back to episode 2 if you want to hear more about it. But let's touch on it here again, Sean, because the point is, on a 10 times leverage basis, that is a return of 48% on the margin that I had to post for the trade, right? I mean, that's my understanding of it. It's worth confirming that I understand it correctly. And that's because when you are trading CFDs, you only put down a portion of your exposure as cash. So your returns are magnified accordingly.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So let's break down that trade. Essentially, you bought it for 200 and you sold it for 210. And you took a short position, so you did it the other way. But the fact remains the same, is that you bought it for less than you sold it for. You essentially did well. You made some money. We talk about contract for difference. So what is a contract for difference? It's a contract for the difference in that price. In this case, it's that share price of Mr. Price. So the difference between 200 and 210 is 10 Rand per share. So, you know, if you had 500 shares, you'd have made 10 Rand for each share. So 500 times 10, you would have made 5,000 Rand. Right now, when we talk about the leverage and that, now, what is the value of that position? So if you had 500 shares at 210 Rand a share, you multiply those two together and you get a position size of, 105,000. That would be your exposure in the market, and that's what you're generating your profit or your loss from. Now, you didn't have to outlay that full amount of money. You only had to outlay a deposit, which would be 10% of that. And so you are generating a profit and loss from that full exposure, from that full value of that number of shares multiplied by that share price, but you're only putting a 10% deposit down. And so, like you correctly said, instead of making 4.8% on the actual capital you've outlaid, you've made 48%. That's great when it goes for you, but obviously you just need to manage your risk on the downside, because if that moved against you, your losses would be magnified by the same amount.
I was just about to say it looks great when it goes right and it looks quite ugly when it doesn't. So yeah. I guess that's part of why I took that approach. And again, it's only a demo account and it's Monopoly money, but there's no point in having a demo account if you're not going to use it like you would your own money. Otherwise, you know, what are you doing? So I would never take my own money and go and Hail Mary it into a single point on that chart and say, okay, there's my full possible Mr. Price exposure on this trade idea. And, you know, just to recap from the last show, the trade idea here is that Mr. Price is having a bit of a tough time in the South African market. You know, clothing retail is not easy. There's lots of competition. So there's a fundamental thesis underneath this. And interestingly enough, since the last show, they actually released an update, which shows that their sales, if you reverse out acquisitions, are under pressure. So yes, they might be winning a bit of market share because everyone is struggling, but they are also struggling. And that share price is struggling to break above that kind of 210 level. You know, it really is straining to get there. So that's kind of where I took the approach of these, you know, smaller positions, but then I need to be careful of trading fees. So I think that's maybe a good opportunity to talk about that, because if you do lots and lots of small trades, then you do need to be careful of how the trading fees are affecting your net return. You know, this is the dark side of my I like small positions coin. And that's because the trading fees do have a minimum charge per trade. It's not just a percentage fee, right? So I think, you know, let's maybe run through that in terms of how these fees work and what you would suggest to people using the platform just to kind of take this into account and manage it.
Okay, so I mean, firstly, that's where we make our money, obviously, on the transactional fees. We're not charging you to have an account with us. But that is your barrier to making a profit, essentially your cost of getting in, getting out. If you look at those trades, so entry-level brokerage rates or your commission charge for a trade like that, you're looking at 0.2% of the value of your trade when you buy and 0.2% of that value of the trade when you sell, right? So, for example, if you were trading 100,000 Rand worth of shares at 0.2%, that transaction cost would be 200 Rand. So it is relatively small. We charge a minimum charge, and that's 50 Rand per trade. But I think it's important to realize that 50 Rand is not over and above that 0.2%. It's either or. So you're paying 0.2% or 50 Rand for the trade, whichever of those figures is greater. And then obviously it's on the buy leg and it's on the sell leg. So if you're looking at the position size on JSE equities, so trading CFDs on local shares, then where does 50 Rand equal 0.2% in terms of the size of your position or your exposure, what we also call notional value, would be about 25,000 Rand. So if you had a 25,000 Rand position. But remember that you're not outlaying that 25 when you're putting a refundable deposit down for that trade, which would be, you know, in this case, or that case with Mr. Price was 10%. So it would be 2,500.
Okay, perfect. So this is where you do need to be careful with trying to make a couple of $100 on a trade. Yeah, unfortunately, you're going to eat a lot of that up as fees.
If you trade those shares during the course of a day, in and out the same day, then there are no further costs. If you're holding positions overnight, you do pay interest on a long position and you receive interest on a short position. And that's set to a JIBAR rate minus 2.5% for the short position where you receive. And for the long position, it's at plus 2.5%. So that is divided by 365. So it's, you know, it's a daily rate on a yearly interest rate. I think especially if you're going long in the market, I think that's one of the reasons why you're not going to hold your positions for extended periods of time. You know, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, even a couple of months is fine. But you start holding it for years and stuff, then it's then that interest calculation would obviously catch up with you. Obviously, on the short side, you know, you would be receiving interest, so that wouldn't be a factor. I just want to just take note is that that's entry-level fees if you're trading local shares, so the JSE-listed shares as CFDs. International markets, if you're trading like US shares, and that it's a different fee structure. We trade, you know, it's a cent or two for a share, for each share. In like UK shares, for example, that entry-level rate is 0.1% transactional fee or commission charge.
And I guess the way to think about it or maybe remember it is when you're buying a long position, I need to put down some margin, but I would have had to put down everything, you know, if I was just investing normally. So yes, I'm incurring interest, but to be fair, I've also only put down 10% of the capital than would otherwise be the case. So the idea is there's 90% of my money still sitting somewhere earning a return, right?
And earn interest on your cash balance, yes.
Okay, perfect. So another example of a position that I decided to put on in my account is Richemont. So you can see that I'm loving the shorts here, because of course that for me is one of the big differences between investing and trading. It really is quite fun to be able to actually, you know, take a short view on this thing. And Richemont, well, you know, the broader luxury industry at the moment is having a pretty tough time of things, actually. And look, again, I'm no technical analyst, but I've learned a little bit, I guess, from doing Magic Markets and from reading and everything else. And I'm keen to get your views on this thing. And I want to give people, again, good examples of the kind of thing you can look at. Because I come at it with this fundamental thesis to say, you know, luxury at the moment, struggling in China. You can see it in Richemont's numbers. We've seen it in LVMH. We've seen it elsewhere. We've even seen it in Porsche, actually. We've seen it in a bunch of places right now. And that's not good for the luxury sector, which typically trades on pretty high, ugly multiples. And high, ugly multiples have a way of hurting you, you know, if something goes a little bit wrong. So I'm looking at my short now on Richemont, and I've made 1,098 Rand before fees. Yay me. I will try not to spend it all at once, but it is pretty cool. It's definitely a whole lot better than losing 1,098 Rand. 1,122 now. Sean, the longer this podcast goes on, the richer I am becoming. It's very fun to see it on the screen. I guess what I wanted to run past you, though, or get your views on is, you know, that double top pattern, if you kind of draw a Richemont share price. I mean, do you see that there? Is that something that you would potentially look at getting involved in? I'm just curious, you know, how would you look at that chart and actually have a view on it? And some of the technical things that, again, you would look at, some of the indicators you might draw to just assist that fundamental thesis.
Okay, so I think we definitely need to have one of these podcasts just on technical analysis and just the do's and don'ts and understanding the concept. Double top, interesting formation. I think maybe a little bit early on there, but I can see what you're talking about. So it's, for the listeners, a double top is just that M-shaped price pattern. And what does it mean, or what does it suggest? It's saying that a market that's been in an uptrend, you see that pattern, you know, uptrend is higher highs and higher lows. And you see that pattern, the market stopped making higher highs. And then it's, you know, when it breaks the bottom part or that support level, we say it's making lower lows and could be the building blocks of a new downtrend. So a change in market direction from up to down. When you look at Richemont, I can see why you'd say that we do have the start of that M-shaped formation, or that double top reversal pattern. But I would say that maybe, you know, technically speaking, you know, from a technical analysis point of view, might be a little bit early on that. The market has some way to go lower before it actually confirms that pattern. For me, in the longer term, I think that trend is still actually up, but we're having a shorter term correction of that trend. And so I'd rather be waiting for that weakness to play out and see where it lands. If it finds support, then maybe look at picking it up. Or if it breaks support, then I'd be on your side of the market with Richemont.
I think there's a really important point coming through there, which is to say that most of these large companies on the market are actually great businesses, and long-term they make money. Let's not pretend otherwise, right? So if you go and draw a chart over a long enough time period, these things tend to go up. It's got to go pretty badly for that to not be the case. So maybe that's an important point to cover. A lot of these shorts, or most shorts, are very, very tactical. It's short-term timing discrepancies and a share price that's run too hard and everything else. As opposed to saying, oh, long-term, Richemont doesn't go up. You know, no, I don't think that's a smart trade. Short-term, is Richemont under pressure? You know, maybe. So far, so good. And I think that's an important point for us to maybe cover off and get your views on.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, remember, there's a lot of, there is a bias to the upside generally in markets. You know, most of the money that comes in is long-only investment. And you do need to distinguish between timeframes. A lot of, you know, when you look at technical analysis, you know, a lot of the themes there is trading with the trend, so trading with the general direction of that market, but recognizing that markets don't move in a straight line. So, you know, with the example of Mr. Price, which we chatted about, and Richemont, both of those principles seem to me, well, those longer term direction is up. So for me, but I recognize, you know, what you're seeing is that maybe they're looking a little bit overbought in the near term, so maybe they've run a little bit too far and needing of a correction. Just from my point of view, and, you know, following it, trend following type perspective, it's not to try and pick the tops, but rather to wait those bits of weakness out and see where I can join that longer term uptrend. But it really is relative to the time frame that you are trading. I think if you're trading against a trend, it can be done, but you just need to be a lot more nimble and quicker in and out of that market. And of course, you always just need to manage your trades and manage that downside risk with things like your management tools, like stop losses and things like that. Do you have a bit of a saying that it's better to be long and wrong in the market than short and court. So you're doing well at the moment. So you just be nimble.
Absolutely. No, for sure. And look, to be clear, I think at the moment I'm really experimenting with the shorts because, as I said, that really is the key difference for me at the moment between the trading and the investing side in my life. And that's why I'm playing with that the most on the demo account. Haven't only done shorts though. There's a couple of longs. So Prosus is one example, which has now taken a bit of a knock from a general sell-off in tech, but I actually added to the position this morning. So we'll see what happens. And you know, Prosus is one of those that I really like what management is doing at the moment. Maybe it'll keep dropping. I'll keep adding to it. So there's maybe an example of something I would typically invest in rather than trading because it is a bit of a longer term view now. Having said all of that, of course, the underlying thing to think about in Prosus as well is China. So I'm not blind to that. That's not something that I would go and throw a whole lot of money at. You know, for all the reasons that Richemont and friends are struggling right now, you know, Prosus carries that risk in China as well. But that all comes down to portfolio strategy, the amount of exposure you take to an individual company. I mean, my style generally is to have a lot of smaller exposures. I've never been a high concentration kind of guy. And Sean, you've pointed out to me when we've been chatting offline a bit the past couple of weeks that, you know, it's quite a contrarian style, some of those trades that I've put on. And maybe that talks to the position sizing as well. I think you can be contrarian, but then I think you have to be careful. You can't be taking 20 or 30% of your portfolio and taking a risky bet. That there's just too much variability in the market. You know, there really is. And it can literally wipe you out. It can be short and court, as you said. And that's not where you want to be, right?
You know, when to get out seems to be a big focus for traders, you know, timing the market. And we use technical analysis tools to try to assist us with that. But the success of trading is really about how you manage that risk. If you're taking a longer term view, and you can do that in trading, and you know, just control the position size. And we talk about position size as, you know, how many contracts or how many shares you're going to be buying. And, you know, if you want to hold it for a longer period of time, the suggestion is maybe having a smaller position with a wider stop loss, because you do need to manage that downside risk. And if you're going to be in the market a little bit quicker, well, then maybe the suggestion is to have a larger position with a tighter stop. It's, every trade is different, but it's really about understanding what is your intention and what is your view. Are you in it for a couple of minutes or a couple of days, or are you in it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months?
Okay, so of course, none of this is possible unless you actually have a brokerage account. You can't have any of this fun whatsoever if you don't have a brokerage account that can do this for you. This is obviously where IG comes in. And I think let's start with the absolute basics here, Sean. What is a brokerage account? It sounds like such a fundamental basic question, but it's quite an important one.
Look, I mean, when you're trading financial markets, you need a link to that market. And essentially, a brokerage account is an account that links you to that market. So we talked earlier on about, you know, you have commission fees and that. And I suppose it's in principle similar to having a bank account. You'd have a trading account or brokerage account, same thing. And just that obviously that account will allow you to buy and sell different financial assets. You know, with IG, everything is in a CFD form, but it would be things like shares, forex, commodities, gold, oil, exchanges around the world, lots of different things.
And how should a trader go about actually comparing these different brokerage accounts and then choosing one that works for them? Because of course, you know, there are various providers in the market, and IG certainly has a great reputation. I must say, I've had quite a few people reach out to me since we actually started this collaboration saying, hey, you know, I'm a big fan of the platform, really cool to see you guys working together. So that's been nice, I must say. And in your view, obviously biased view, but also not a biased view because it's objectively, how should a trader actually look at these different accounts and say, hey, this is who I want to trade with or not? What are some of the characteristics that you think a trader should actually look at before choosing a brokerage account?
Look, I think the most important thing when choosing a broker is making sure that the broker you're choosing is regulated in all the jurisdictions in which they are offering their services. If you add to that, you want a competitive cost structure, as we've said, you know, that is your barrier to making a profit. But you want that sort of balanced with access to research, trading tools, things like technical analysis tools, live news feeds, broker ratings, mobile access. And another important feature would be just make sure that that platform or the trading platform is reliable. You don't want to get stuck or let down when you're trying to get in out of a trade. So, well, and if you, you know, I know a guy.
Yes, exactly. And that guy is waiting for you to open a demo account and play around on IG, definitely. So let's just talk about IG for a moment. The focus here is CFDs. I mean, this is something we've covered in previous shows. That is ultimately the IG model, right? As we think about these different types of brokerage accounts, that's how you operate.
Yes. So because of exchange control, we separate local products with offshore products. But if you'd open a broken account with IG from a local account, you'd be able to trade everything in a form of a CFD, obviously. So shares, indices, exchange-traded funds. If you had an offshore account with us, which would be supported from the South African office as well, you could trade anything around the world. Like we said, forex, commodities, global indices, shares on different exchanges around the world.
So another point I just want to touch on as we learn more about the platform. So I noticed in my demo account that there's a section called Deal, and there's another one called Order. And within both, then there's an OTC option and a DMA option. So I'm keen to understand a little bit more about these concepts. So Deal versus Order, and then OTC versus DMA, as we just learn more and more about this platform and how all the CFD trading actually works.
Okay, so Deal is if you wanted to buy or sell at the available price in the market right now. You don't want to wait, you just want to get in. So use the Deal function. If you have a particular price in mind, though, that you're prepared to buy or sell whichever market, then you'd use the order function. So you'd put your order in at the price that you like, and you'd wait for the market to get there. Obviously, it doesn't have to get there. Anything can happen in the market. So you do run the risk of not getting into the trade if you use the order. But then, obviously, the positive side of that is you get the price that you want if it does move to your order. So Deal, I want to get in the market right now. An order is, well, I'd like to get into the market if it gets to this price. So I think that would be a simplified version of that. When you talk about OTC, OTC means over the counter. So that is a trade that you're looking at the market prices, but it doesn't go through the exchange. When you look at DMA, that means direct market access. So you're looking at the price of those underlying exchanges, but your trade does go through that exchange, through our order book.
Okay, and then last question for this show. For listeners who really just can't wait to get stuck in, how should they go about opening an account with IG Markets South Africa? Not just a demo account, but a full-blown account. You know, what does that process actually look like?
Very, very simple process. Just need to go to that IG.com website, fill out the application, and you'd be assisted by one of the client support services in terms of getting it open and funding that account. But if you are new to this, make use of that demo account first. I think iron out your mistakes, get used to the platform, and that. But certainly IG is here to support you through that whole process.
Great, Sean. Well, thank you so much. I think it's been another excellent episode. And to the listeners, I would go back, listen to the previous two. You know, make sure you've caught up with the full season thus far. There's still lots more of this to come. Nice combination of, you know, looking at practical trades and examples of the thinking behind them, but also how the platform works and a lot of the other concepts. And there's still lots, lots more to come in the episodes ahead. Sean, thank you so much for your time again this morning. And to the listeners, go and get that demo account open and go and play around. Thank you very much.
Cool, thanks.
CFD losses can exceed your deposits. In our gorgeously diverse country, there really is a new reason to trade every day. Current affairs to political news can make the markets move and cause volatility, which can be advantageous to a trader. Diversify your portfolio by opening a trading account with IG and explore the possibilities of CFD trading, or practice your trading skills on an IG demo account.